Arrival. A year goes by. Jared's year of teaching English in Taiwan is fast coming to a close, and he will be heading to the UK to become a schoolteacher. I last saw him when I went back to South Africa just after he had come out as a gay person. Lately, we've been talking about him visiting me in Canada and the two of us going on a road trip together around Nova Scotia and Cape Breton. We set a date for October. He's had a boyfriend and several lovers already. I'm sure he's been wondering whether I was going to keep him at a safe distance or just slowly freeze him out. What will it be like to talk face to face after so long? I'm not sure about my own feelings. Even though we've had some very open conversations via email and on the telephone, my heart tells me I have failed him as a father. Our meaningful conversations have now dried up. How do I broach a discussion about our relationship without driving a wedge between us? How do I overcome my own feelings of inadequacy? How do I recreate a relationship that meets his longing for connection, acceptance, and feeling special? How do I acknowledge my shortcomings while reminding Jared that we're both ultimately responsible for our own destinies? Lastly, how do we interrupt and replace our limiting beliefs about our past and each other with new, authentic experiences? It is 11 o'clock. I'm pacing expectantly in the waiting area of the ferry terminal in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. The Cat, also known as one of the world's superships, takes about 3 hours to travel from Bar Harbor on the coast of Maine in the U.S. to Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. I lean forward to ask someone if the Cat is on time. Just as she's about to answer, I see Jared out of the corner of my eye, coming through the turnstiles. We hug. Jared is wearing tight-fitting jeans and a blue t-shirt. His hair is trimmed very short. He's looking lean, relaxed, and different in the sense that I've not seen him for 3 years. After loading his very large bag into the Jeep, we leave Yarmouth for our home on St. Margaret's Bay, near Halifax. How was the ferry ride, I ask, as we pick up speed? Oh, it was great, very cool. I nearly missed it, though. How come? Well, you know what it's like, explains Jared. I had a few beers with a friend last night, and so I overslept this morning. What a mad rush to get to the terminal on time. Well, I'm glad you made it, I reply, trying not to sound too concerned as a father. After all, I remind myself, Jared has hitchhiked on his own throughout Africa. Traveling from Taiwan to the UK via the US to visit friends and then catching a ferry ride to Canada is nothing for him. He has loads of experience on how to change plans and adapt to circumstances while on the road. Just barely into our 3-hour journey, I pull over for a fix of Nova Scotia's famous coffee. When we flew over here the first time, I say to Jared in a muffled voice, trying to chew on a donut and drink my coffee at the same time, we were so impressed. We were blown away with the bays, the islands, and endless lakes. Then, when we met the people, we knew we were in a special place. I'd like to introduce you to some of our friends. They're really great. Cool, replies Jared, staring out the window, while his left hand, almost with a mind of its own, grabs the last donut from the box between us. As we negotiate the back roads and weave around the endless bays, each vista is awash with a palette of autumn colors. This season of splendor marks the end of the heady days of summer and beckons us to partake in the cycle of dying and renewal. We spend a few days at our home in St. Margaret's Bay. I notice that Deborah and Jared engage easily in deep conversations about travel, cooking, and just about everything in between. Although things seem easy between me and Jared, I decide to hold off on any discussion about exploring our relationship with each other and how my views about religion have changed until we take off on our 5-day road trip around Nova Scotia and Cape Breton. I hope our conversations will be easy, but since they could be challenging, I remind myself that the mantra of our business here in Canada is to encourage leaders to practice authentic dialogue in the workplace. I realize it's another thing entirely, taking it to heart and practicing it with my own son.